Hey guys, Luke here. Before we get started with today's show, I just wanted to make sure that you know that we have released the Mandarin Blueprint Challenge. We designed this challenge meticulously so that you can reach basic Chinese literacy in 15 days from zero. That's right, reading sentences without the aid of pinyin and just characters only. So if you're interested in signing up, it's just $7. Head over to mandarinblueprint.com/challenge now. Enjoy the show.
欢迎来到汉语蓝图播客的第200集。This is episode 200 of the Mandarin Blueprint podcast, and I just want to take a moment to thank all of you for the support over the years. We started this podcast in 2019 with one goal in mind: make it easier for people on the journey towards Mandarin fluency. Communicate with the people on the Mandarin Blueprint Method course.And make sure that they do not feel lost and that they are confident in the path that they are taking. And so far, I can say that it has been a success, and it cannot be that way without all of you loyal listeners. So, mwah, thank you so much for all of the support you've given us over the years. I love the questions that came in this week because I want to focus on this idea that we're going to play to understand.And that game results in fluency. The play to understand game is one where the winning the game is fluency. The work to learn game, the winning of that game is knowledge about Chinese. Now, which one do you want? Do you want to be able to say to somebody, well, in Chinese, they're able to put the object of the sentence earlier and then explain what happened to the object?Through a verb and resultative complement. I'm sure that this will impress lots of people at dinner parties. But you know what would be even more impressive? Talking to Chinese people in Chinese, right? So I want you guys to get this point, which is that we have to be more like kids in our attitudes. Now, as adults, we have abilities to do things faster than kids for reasons I'm actually going to get into in a moment from the first question of this podcast. But we have to adopt...the play to understand mentality, because this is what actually will lead to real fluency that's instinctual. We know that when you speak, you're discovering it as you speak. If you're fluent, you can pre-plan stuff, you can write a speech. But what I'm saying is that if you're just speaking to somebody and having a conversation, you're discovering it as you speak. And that is a result of understanding.Understanding is not memorization. I'm going to say that again. Understanding is not memorization. And it's a thing that we are so focused on because of school that we have to memorize facts. But it's not what you need to do for language acquisition, because the more you understand, the better your brain becomes at extracting patterns. We have this highly evolved language module in our brain that is...apparent that we all have because we're all able to use language. It's a human trait. So that module is able to extract a meta principle out of all the understanding. Like, okay, it's not that I memorized this particular phrase for this particular situation in talking to a Chinese person. It's that I've understood on some level that people, actions, and descriptionsAnd, you know, how things happened. There are certain ways you can express it. And it doesn't really matter what the content is. The pattern is the same. And this is how you actually acquire what linguists call grammar. But I just, you know, who cares what linguists call it? That's an ex post facto justification for an ex post facto explanation for something that was already happening. We were already doing it. So we want to play the understanding game where the winning of that game equals fluency. Now that relates a little bit to a question I got from Thomas on the lesson in the Mandarin Immersion Masterclass called How You're Going to Get to Fluency. And I love this question, which is why I wanted to start off the podcast with this. He says, you describe reading as the one true hack available to adult language learners. If we just quickly read for meaning instead of reading aloud or subvocalizing, would we still get the benefits of that hack? Or would our spoken language ability only improve when we say the words being read?All right, I love this question. And First, I want to explain what I mean by the one true hack available to adult language learners. Okay, so infant babies can't read. They can't even think yet, right? So they can only observe the world, hear mouth noises from their life givers and siblings, and slowly associate those mouth noises with real things that happen. So parents say breakfast. The baby on some level understands breakfast means soon I'm going to get good dopamine from food. And so they realize, okay, breakfast equals food, and they acquire a word. That keeps happening en masse. And then eventually they can start to think. When they start to be able to think, they can start to output sounds that mimic what their parents have said. Now, and infant babies can't even move, so they're basically stuck with their immediate environment and hearing sounds, trying to make associations with reality. Okay, so obviously adults have much more freedom than that to change their environment. They can choose and manipulate their environment to become a Chinese immersive sort of fun studio of fluency, of potential fluency. They have the ability to use their native language, which is a mechanism of thinking, to learn how to read in a new language, right? So we use the Hanzi movie method in the Mandarin Blooper method, which we use English to teach you, that is a series of memorization mnemonics that apply to a Chinese character, which allows you to be able to see Chinese characters in context and read and therefore get messages. And so that at least doubles the potential messages you can get. And playing that understanding game that I started the podcast talking about, you get not just understanding from your environment and hearing sounds, but also by seeing messages through your reading. Now, Thomas's question is, if we just read for meaning instead of reading aloud or sub-vocalizing, would we still get the benefits of the hack? And the answer is yes. Why? Because as you understand more and more, the emergent result of understanding is thought, okay? When you play to understand, the emergent result is thought. And it doesn't matter whether the understanding came from listening or came from reading. You're able to begin to think. Now, thinking, the process of thinking, if you really pay close attention to it, it just emerges as meaning when you sort of apply your thought to a problem. So you say, okay, this person has come up to me and said, 你好,你最近怎么样? Okay, they've given you a problem. How have you been lately? And there's sort of an implicit, I need to answer this question. And so your brain jumps into action. If there were enough understandable messages, then let's just say you don't speak. Let's just say you think only. Do the right words appear? If you got enough understandable messages, they will. And so whether they appear or not is only a question of whether or not you've reached a critical amount of understandable messages that your brain has pattern recognized and pulled out the meta principle and realized, okay, this pattern works. I can fill it with whatever content I need to express meaning. And if you only have 1,000 words, sometimes you have to talk around something to get the same meaning across. But as you keep building up vocabulary, that module just fills it in with the right vocabulary. And reading absolutely helps with this. When you go to speak, the question is the word there for you? And reading helps make the word there for you. So yes, reading helps with speaking. Now, with that said, you do need to practice speaking, because there is a gap between the word actually being in your head. So I might have the word, 我最近很高兴, which would mean I've been very happy lately. I've been, you know, things are good. And I might have 高兴 in my head, but because I haven't practiced saying it enough, I flub it when I go to speak. I say, you know, 我最近很高兴. It's like, oops, I said the wrong tones there, or 我最近很高兴, you know, like just something, or I get the sounds wrong, because my mouth is still mechanical. The mouth is still a mechanical thing with muscles and your tongue and the way that your tongue moves and the way that your lips move and your vocal cords have developed since you were a baby and they weren't practicing Chinese at that time. You know, That's one of the reasons why you should never worry too much about having an accent, because at least some element of it is hard to change. Because if you think about it, like, how could you change the way your vocal cords developed? Because it's already happened, you know, to some degree. Now you can, I'm not trying to discourage people from trying to sound as close to a native as possible. I'm just saying, don't worry about it if you have an accent. It's kind of charming anyway. But my point is that the word being there, the word Gaoxing being there for you, is a result of your input only. That's why it's there. That's why the thought arose, say Gaoxing, right? If you didn't know any words in Chinese, that wouldn't be there. But if you read 100 sentences that you understood all of them that used Gaoxing, the word would be there for you, right? Now, the question of whether or not it comes out right is a little bit of a mechanical question, which is why you should still shadow. It's why you should still practice reading aloud. It's why you should practice speaking off the cuff. But the length of time you need to spend activating vocabulary via speaking and, you know, getting your mechanical mouth to keep up with your fast thinking brain is far shorter. The longer period is definitely getting lots of understandable messages. And so try to think of it like this. You're playing a game called Understand a Million Messages, right? And you want to stop trying to understand by analysis, but understand through play. And the way to do that is to think like a kid. When a kid doesn't understand something, they just move on. And this is what I want you guys to do. Even in the Mandarin Blueprint method, when you don't understand a sentence in the Mandarin Blueprint method, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, because what you're going for is trying to build that module in your brain that recognizes patterns. If you didn't understand a particular sentence, that's fine, because you can just move to the next sentence that is understandable. At some point, you'll see a sentence that is the same pattern as the sentence you didn't understand, but because of some critical mass of words and characters you've understood, this time you do understand it. And then when you see that original sentence you didn't understand, because of that connection to the one you did understand, you'll start to get that one now. And so it's not up to you to decide when all of these things happen, because it's an eclectic process. You're learning characters, you're reading words, you're coming up with ideas to memorize them. You see them put into a pattern in the sentence, and maybe your brain hasn't gotten enough critical mass of that pattern to fully get it. But if you just move on and see what you can understand next, then you're getting another understandable message, another one. Oh, I didn't get that one. Move on. I got that one. Didn't understand that one. Got that one. It should be this sort of like boom, 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 looking around like, okay, got that. Yeah, cool. I got that one. What does that mean? I don't know. All right, move on. Let's see. And just constantly be attempting to get more and more. And the emergent result of that will be that you'll understand a higher and higher percentage of the sentences that you read, because you didn't stop and waste time analyzing the language, right? Because that, and the reason why I say it's a waste of time is because it takes time. You have to stop, look up a word, figure out what that word means. And sometimes the definition in a dictionary isn't totally obvious. So you're like, oh, how does that work? And then you end up thinking, you know, for a minute or two, all about this one sentence, which isn't important, because you could have infinite sentences, the possible sentences you could say are infinite. This particular sentence doesn't really matter, and yet you spent 2 minutes on it. You could have gotten 10 to 20 more understandable messages, and so you just held yourself back from getting to fluency. If there's one thing I can try to express today, it's that the act of getting understandable messages should not be delayed by analysis. Don't go analyzing, because the analyzing is only going to slow you down from getting more understandable messages. We're trying to get to a million, so that's going to take a while, and it will get faster and faster. You can get to the point where you're getting, you know, 5 to 10,000 messages a day. That's for real. And so once you get to that level, you can start to imagine getting to a million, right? When you're only getting 10 a day, it's like, dang, a million feels so long, far away. But that's just because you're building up momentum. And so eventually the momentum gets, crazy high. But my point is, you can absolutely get more messages via reading. You can absolutely get more messages via listening. The process of doing that together will help your speaking because it will help you think. And then you just do the process of activation, which again is way less time than the understanding messages game. Like if you have to have a million messages to reach fluency, let's say, then you would need to practice for about, I don't know, a tenth of that time speaking, which is still a lot of time, but it's not nearly as much. So that's my answer to Thomas. And I just wanted to get into that in some detail right up front, because this is such a key element of language acquisition that's really tough to understand, because school made us think that we have to know why about everything because we're going to get tested on it. And if we don't pass the test, then we're not good. And it's like, that's not how language acquisition works. It's not how your native language was acquired. And so do your best to, like, I don't know, shed that layer of school mindset that got so indoctrinated into you, as it did me, as it did everyone who went through the school system, and instead wake up in the morning with a landscape of play in front of you. Next, we have an email from Master of Powers. So this is an interesting one. It's a longer email, so I'm just going to take it bit by bit. So here we go. Still working on immersion every day. Good job. Reading Wuxia with Migaku and immersion every day with ITE. Excellent. Progress is good, and I have a steady habit of immersion every day for at least 2 hours. Rock it. Shadowing for a minimum of 5 minutes each day. Excellent. In terms of HSK, I always ask people, do they ask Michael Jordan to take a test for basketball? Do they ask Michael Phelps to get a lifeguard certification? That comes from probably my Mandarin Insights newsletter called I Have a University Degree in Duh, because I have a Chinese degree, but it's like, is that what I need to prove that I can speak Chinese, or could I just go ahead and do it? You know, it's one of the most useless degrees from a perspective of proving it. You know, it's like if somebody wants to know, are you really an accountant? Yeah, you could try to prove it by doing some accounting, but the degree just makes it easier. Whereas I can instantly get somebody to understand that I speak Chinese. So what was the degree for? So let's go here further. Master of Powers here put in a Chinese sentence, but there's a couple of like little minor problems with it. So I'm not going to read the sentence right now because this is a long email and I don't want to get too off track. So continuing, I'm on board with you guys. I may need to reset Mandarin Blueprint though. I got emotional and basically started suspending certain cards. Just stupid. I haven't done any character study and I've avoided Mandarin Blueprint even though I should be doing like 30 minutes a day of it. Let my story be a warning to others. SRS is for long-term, not short-term gains, meaning that you may be able to handle a high amount of flashcards even for a few months, but that's the thing. They will catch up with you and bite you in the den. That's a male anatomy part. I'm still studying stronger than ever, but I'd like to really master these characters. By the way, Luke, your picture on the HSK test looks like a mugshot. So do all of my pictures in China. Anyway, this was a long way to say thanks. If you read it, let me know what you think. And so I would say, that the characters really are the most important element of the Mandarin Blueprint method. We do engage in giving you very tailored, comprehensible input. There's a lot of it and it's very important, but because you're already doing immersion every day, I would not worry about our sentences or graded readers. I mean, unless you're interested. If you're interested, then read it and get more comprehensible input. But what I'm saying is that it's the characters that have the highest return on investment. So you learn a character, and I bet, especially the earlier days of the Mandarin Blueprint method, you learn a character and suddenly your immersion becomes that much easier to understand, because the character usually, they come up all the time, right? So it's like the fact that you learned a new character will absolutely help you. And so And thank you for your bit of advice about SRS. Like, I agree. And really, SRS is much more important for characters than it is for sentences. We have sentences in SRS, but I really am trying to emphasize to people, and, you know, if you're listening to this and you're getting bogged down by sentences in SRS, like, remember, if that's how you feel about the sentences, then why not just start immersing more and spend less time on SRS sentences? Like, you don't need to get inundated with the same sentences over and over. There's some benefit to it because obviously you're giving your brain a reminder of the pattern, but it's the characters that need to be remembered for sure. The characters are like, I don't know, it's like not knowing certain letters of the alphabet if you don't know the characters. It makes it harder to understand. If it's hard to understand, it's harder to win the game. So, you know, the whole game is understanding. So, yeah. Now, we asked Master of Powers here if we could share this, and the response was, absolutely. Please share it with others. Really, I think if people are doing over 10 characters a day, I think they are going to have problems. After the solid foundation of the first 2,000, they can go faster for the last few, because the more obscure the character, the more specific the meaning. Immersion time and comprehensible input is the most important thing. I'm reading Da Lu in Migaku, and it's just so much fun. If you are somebody with lots of time, the best thing to do is to spend hours listening to sentences and graded content on Mandarin Blueprint, and then native content. So you list your list of priorities should be like this. Mandarin Blueprint reviews to zero in your flashcards, daily set or new characters, 5 to 20, lower amount a day, the safer, but don't go at a snail's pace either. Sometimes the Henze movie method will stick instantly, but other times it doesn't. And when it doesn't, you will need to review the movie and improve it or make a new one. If you have too many reviews, you won't give these characters the love and attention they need. And then they will become leeches. This is bad, bad, bad. And leeches is like when you get a character wrong so many times that this flashcard software basically says like, hey, you're not really getting this one. It's probably better if you just don't even review it. And yet, I agree, this is not a good situation to be in. And so one of the things you can do with trying to figure out how many characters to review per day in the 5 to 20 range is to think about how many days it will take you, if you do it every day, to reach the 3,000 threshold, because it is, well, 3,050. It is an objective number. So, you know, if I just ask myself, you know, what is 3,000 divided by 10? Well, that's 300 days. So 600 days for 5, or 150 days for 20 a day. You know, you can figure it out very easily. And so that's the type of thing that will help you kind of decide, okay, is this the amount of time that I'm willing to deal with? And like, yes, it's going to take, you know, in most cases, the better part of a year, but the result will be that your immersion will be incredibly powerful. And then you can start getting to that point where you're getting, you know, at first hundreds of understandable messages a day, and then over thousands. And I'm telling you, if you have a good day with Chinese after you know you're 3,000 characters, you can get over 10,000 understandable messages in a day. You know, it's obviously, it's a commitment. It's like saying, it's treating your environment as if it were, you know, Chinese, a playful Chinese sort of a playground, playful Chinese playground. I'm very eloquent today. But my point is that if your environment calls out for you to find as many understandable messages by having books all around, by having posters on the wall with Chinese, by having listening material playing as much as possible, by turning on the TV shows, you know, and just making your environment such that it's impossible to avoid, you can easily get over 10,000 messages in a day. Then you go, okay, well, that would mean, you know, if you kept that going for a long enough time, you could get to, you know, the critical mass of understandable messages at a very, you know, early amount of time compared to what you might have thought. Now, obviously, it takes a long time to be able to get 10,000 understandable messages in a day, but it is possible if you really smash it from the moment you wake up to when you go to sleep. Number three, shadow the sentences and graded content from the level you are studying and the one before it. 10 minutes is good, 30 to 60 minutes is Uncle Luke level. This is repetitive, take your dog for a walk or something. And yeah, I can say that the process of shadowing is definitely super helpful. But yeah, it's one of the most brain intensive things you can do. And 30 to 60 minutes per day is not very realistic. I mean, like, maybe if you're having a particularly motivated day, but that wouldn't be a sustainable amount, I don't think. I mean, I could be wrong. I mean, like, people surprise me all the time with how disciplined they're able to be. And even I've managed to become more disciplined in many ways that I would look back at, you know, in the past and be like, I can't believe you do that. But still, 30 to 60 minutes a day seems like a lot. I 5 minutes a day of shadowing is probably enough. All right. Immersion time, as much as you can handle. I agree with this. Find something that looks cool and just sit there. Incomprehensible input is good. Comprehensible input is best. You keep up the work on Mandarin Blueprint and do some Migaku, and you will be God tier in no time. I love that. Trust the system. Do your immersion. It's so painfully slow, and it can be terrible, and there will be times you will wish you never started learning Chinese. It's true. But when you can really read native content with a dictionary and it's comfortable, or you can follow the plot of what's going on in a show, or you impress a stranger with your native-like Chinese, you will only have yourself, Luke, Phil, Henzi, and the immersion to thank. Good luck, guys. P.S. Also, for our higher-level guys, check out Da Shu Zhongwen on YouTube. Their content is the bomb, and it has soft subtitles. That's very good, because that makes Migaku or Language Reactor work with it. You know, so a lot of Chinese shows have hard subtitles. They're hard-coded into the movie, which means that softwares can't recognize the subtitles. But if you have a software like Migaku and there's soft subtitles, you can just click a button and it creates a flashcard that grabs a screen grab from that part of the episode. It grabs the audio as well, and sometimes even the little bit of video. It's really, really helpful. And then at the end of the episode, you can download the whole video and take out the silences, and then have some. You can listen to the episode as a part of your immersion. So, you know, again, this is part of these, the types of things we teach you in the Mandarin Immersion Masterclass. So, you know, I think that that's a good way to think about it. All right. Thank you so much to Master of Powers for that email, because it's going to be very helpful for the people who are listening.
Hey guys, Luke here. I just wanted to quickly tell you about our free newsletter called Mandarin Insights. Phil and I both recognize that in a long-term project like learning Mandarin, there are a lot of emotional ups and downs. So we want to make sure that we're in touch with you every couple of weeks with something that's either educational, inspirational, motivational, or all three. So if you'd like to sign up for the Mandarin Insights newsletter to have it arrive in your inbox every couple of weeks, you can do so by going to mandarinblueprint.com/newsletter. All right, back to the show.
Christopher Weeks by email. He says, "Hi, Phil and Luke. This is an interesting one for me. I've also watched your recent videos on the YouTube channel. Here's my current situation, which is an update from my last email to Luke around November and December." And just by the way, since the last podcast I did, we've started putting out a lot more YouTube content, mostly YouTube shorts. And I think you guys will like them because they're meant to drum up interest in Chinese characters and individual characters. And even though that you probably will be familiar with a lot of these characters, I try to include at least something that you may not know so that you'll find them interesting. And you know, the more you watch these types of things, you'll get more exposure to Chinese, but you also help out our YouTube channel. So there's great. That's great. All right, continuing with Christopher's email. "I am regularly speaking with a tutor for around 3 hours a week while keeping up with the Mandarin Blueprint reviews. I've completed the upper intermediate course, and all the sentence flashcards are in my reviews for intermediate and upper intermediate sentences. Those reviews are now down to under 100 flashcards again, and I am occasionally adding new characters from the advanced course if they come up. In my class, I now only write characters in my notes, and once a week write a diary entry reflecting on a class, even a guanhougan based on a donghua if I really like it. I asked my teacher to teach me guanhougan, as I enjoy thinking and writing in the language more so than speaking it." I can understand that. "Sometimes my problem is I know too many characters, but if my teacher starts to write the character, I know exactly which one it is and can finish it. This happened to me with Liu in Pin Liu. She just wrote the single drop of water stroke, and I knew exactly which character. However, my biggest issue at this point, your pet peeve, the grammar, especially in my output." I just want to talk about how incredible Christopher's progress is. I mean, he just sort of listed off the stuff that he's been doing, but, you know, holy crap, being able to understand over 2,000 characters and probably more than that now, and only write your notes in Chinese characters. I mean, what an incredible achievement, right? So continue, he says, so this is his biggest issue is grammar and output with my tutor. Sometimes use the textbook, but mostly I complete it before class and we spend some time checking if I can use those words or summarize the article slash story. If I can, we just move on. If I'm reminded of an experience due to that word, I just try to tell it and see where the gaps are in my vocabulary, and my teacher gifts me with the new words. Occasionally, it is something quite alien to me, like 干脆, or 如此, or 此外, which I don't hear day to day, but might be useful for reading comprehension. Yeah, just a comment on that. This is a problem with tutors. This is a problem with teachers in general. And I get it. It's so natural. This is part of the reason why it's tough to learn from native teachers sometimes, because Chinese has formal language and it has spoken language. But what does the classroom feel like to a Chinese person? It feels formal, right? Of course it does. It's their teachers when they grew up. The classroom mindset, the school mindset is comparatively formal. It's way less casual than sitting around and talking with your friends at school. So the teachers, without realizing they're doing it, are being, you know, they're using words like 如此 and 此外, which are easy to understand. 此 is just 这个, you know, it's just this, right? It's just 这样 or 这个, right? And so 如此, like this, or 此外, apart from this. But, and yes, people do speak like this because there are formal scenarios you're going to be in life, but classrooms tend to bias their language towards more formal language, and it's frustrating because most of the time you want to be able to talk in a way that is more casual with people. And so it's kind of a discontinuity between what your goal is and what the teacher is doing. And they're not doing it on purpose. They're doing it just because the classroom naturally feels this way. I remember I had a tutor. It's one of the few male tutors I had. There was this place that was in Chengdu that would give you a free half hour tutoring session as long as you evaluated the tutor. And I had this guy once, and I really liked him because his whole attitude the whole time was just like, I'm just talking to you, dude. Like, I had this feeling of like, yeah, let's just chat. And I was like, this is great. And so Christopher, I would recommend that maybe you see about finding somebody like that. Now, listen, if you like your tutor, I'm not saying don't do it, especially because you like to read and you like to, you said here that you're more into that side of things, but maybe also if you're doing 3 hours a week of tutoring, maybe go down an hour with your current tutor and add an hour with somebody who you specifically say to them, no textbooks, this isn't a classroom, let's go have a coffee. Make the environment such that you're just having a coffee with them perhaps, and just be like, let's just chat for an hour. And yeah, you know, maybe they can take some notes about things that might be able to help you after the class, but I think that that's something that could help a lot. Anyway, continuing. During any conversation, it is slightly one way with me doing the majority of the talking. During the conversation, the tutor is listening, occasionally correcting, but mostly letting me speak. After the class, my tutor gives me a list of things I said incorrectly, along with a list of phrases which I couldn't use or didn't know before my class. My homework is to correct those or write them, which I do completely in Hanzi. I also speak the sentences out loud. From my perspective, so far so good as it seems. However, my corrections of my corrections are often incorrect. This seems to be down to just not getting the logic or structure of the language. Common mistakes and culprits, 离合词, missing a dao after a verb, using 不能 instead of 不了, using 关于 incorrectly, using 如果 in the middle of a sentence. Yeah, it's a common one for that last one. It's like, it's because in English we'll say something like, I wouldn't have done it if you were here. It's our instinct to go, 我不会这样做如果你在, but that's wrong. In Chinese, you don't say it like that. You would say, 如果你在的话,我就不会这样做. You know, it's a word order thing, and I do get it, but yeah, it's not the right way to do it. But yeah, some of this I know is down to different language structures than English, but I feel like I am not translating from English and I am trying to think in Chinese. I am often recalling images in my head and describing that. So the good news is I have over a year's worth of sentences I've said incorrectly and the correct way of saying it, which I can use for something. I haven't currently turned these into flashcards due to already having enough daily flashcards from the Mandarin Blueprint method. Available resources. I also have lifetime membership to Mandarin Blueprint, Mandarin Corner, Migaku, a lot of dictionaries of Pleco, as well as native children's books, and Chinese movies TV series subscriptions. I have my immersion playlist with the sentence files. I have used some Chinese pod before and previously paid for Ollie Linge's pronunciation course. I also have 3 months of one-on-one classes left at my school here in China, and access to a free language partner program if I need it. I haven't so far due to already feeling like I have enough on my plate, balancing input and reviewing. Now, you have a lot of context for my situation. The main question, what is your advice on how I am able to correct these fossilized grammar mistakes in my oral and written grammar? Is there something I may be doing incorrectly? Have a great weekend. Yeah, so, more input. I'm sorry to be annoying, but that is the answer. The answer is to get more input. Because the reason that you're using 关于 wrong, or 不了, or saying 不能, or not using 到, is because you just haven't gotten enough input yet. Because it's one of those things where it feels like you've gotten a lot of input, and you have. You have absolutely made a lot of progress, but it's like you probably haven't really comprehended how much input it's supposed to be. It's a lot. It's a lot. And you're doing all the right things. Here's the thing. You're not really doing anything wrong. I would just say maybe, like, if this is bothering you this much, then hinge towards more input. There's no way to get better grammar by studying grammar. I'm sure you understand that. I'm sure that at this point we've been a broken record about that enough. So you're not going to like study how lihezi work enough. What you're going to see is just the patterns. It's just the patterns. You haven't reached a high enough critical mass of seeing the patterns in context. So if you feel like you're not getting it and you want to get it faster, then organize your time more around immersion and less around output. And I know, you know, you want to output because obviously output is the long-term goal, but here's the problem. You outputted too early and created a bunch of fossilized grammar patterns, as you say. The reason that happened is because you tried to output before you really knew whether it was the right thing to say, and so you naturally go to your English instinct and create the English grammar, and then it doesn't translate to Chinese properly, right? And so then you end up with those quote-unquote fossilized mistakes. But the only way to get out of it is to keep seeing things in context and just keep inundating yourself with understandable messages. I still contend that this is a great study point. And you're just, it's like patience, young Padawan. Like, just keep on the path. The game is to play to understand, and trying to understand has the natural knock-on effect of eventually outputting correctly. And you can't know when it's going to happen. Like, I've had many times where I look back at what I've said and went, oh yeah, I can't believe I used to think it was that. But I didn't fix it by, focusing on it and thinking about the right way. I fixed it by just getting enough input. You know, and sometimes this will happen, and this probably has happened with your teacher. You say something, like, let me do it in English. So somebody says, I didn't know is where the toilet. And I respond going, oh, right, you didn't know where the toilet is. I understand, right? And then I don't correct them specifically. I just say, ah, yeah, this. And I say it correctly. And what I notice when I'm in a conversation in Chinese and I'm the one who said the thing wrong, and then the Chinese person says it in a better way after me, I go, I kind of just go, oh, yeah, that was good, right? And then, but keep talking. Just keep going. And then because they said it the right way there, then when you go back to your immersion, oh, you hear somebody else say it the right way there. Suddenly, you know, at some point when you keep getting it and keep inundating yourself with all this stuff, then the next time you go to speak, it just comes out right because you've seen it right enough times. And like, there are, you know, all these different patterns that if you could, you can't, but if you could, you would put them out on like a graph and there's like a critical mass line, like a bar graph, and they're all going up. And like every time you get an understandable message for this sentence pattern, it like moves up a little bit. And it's, and every day that you get new comprehensible input, some pattern has crossed the line of, okay, you got it now. You've seen it enough times that your brain is going to produce it when you write or speak. But you don't know that that's happened, right? That's the disadvantage of the play to understand game, is that the reward for it is fluency, right? But you don't feel it until you output. And so you don't know, you won't find out whether or not you've gotten enough input or not until you go to output. And sometimes the answer is you still haven't gotten enough input. And that's frustrating when that happens. But bear in mind, the other thing that's kind of frustrating is that once you do get something and you do start saying it correctly, the enjoyment of it, of how well it is, how good it is that you understood that, you know, fades pretty quickly. So you go, oh, just now I said, I used the Li He Ci perfectly. I was like, oh, 我今早吃我妈妈做的早饭. And you're like, oh, wow, like I just used 吃饭, but I like Li He Ci the heck out of that thing. And the first time you do it, you're like, yeah, I did it. But then you get used to it and suddenly it doesn't matter anymore, right? And so the point I'm making is that you can't know when you've gotten over that critical mass of understanding. And so the best thing to do is just keep inundating yourself. And then when you will know is when you keep practicing with your speaking. You can't, until you are in that moment, discover whether it worked or not. If it did work, you're going to experience some enjoyment about it for a moment, but it'll quickly pass and you'll quickly get used to it. Like, the reason I brought that up to begin with is that you're probably saying a lot of things right at the moment, but you don't feel that because you've already gotten used to it. And you're only feeling the stuff you're getting wrong. And so you're frustrated. And it's like, I get it. That's very common. This is the intermediate plateau. This is the long stretch of, okay, you still need more input to become as fluent as you want to be. But you've gotten to the point where your foundational Chinese, which is fine probably, is you're used to it and it doesn't excite you anymore, right? So you're communicating very well. Your tutor understands a lot of what you're saying. You're succeeding in many ways, but you're seeing these problems that have come up. And so my advice, as always, is just keep getting more input and also slow think, okay? So like, especially when you go into with your tutor and you go in to have a conversation, just slow down your thinking, which slows down your speaking, which means that when you feel the pattern coming up where you're about to say something that you know is wrong on some level, you catch it and then you don't say it again. Now, you may stop and pause and not say anything, but if you realize, oops, I'm about to go say 如果 in the middle of the sentence again, but you're slow thinking, you can catch yourself doing it and then start the sentence again where 如果 is at the beginning, right? And then this is what I mean about how like learning Chinese can change the way you think, because if you realize I have to put the conditional text at the beginning, the if statement needs to go at the beginning and not in the middle, it makes you have to think about the whole sentence more. And it's kind of cool, right? So, all right, this has been a very long-winded answer, but I hope that I've gotten across the point that input really is the only thing that matters here. That's the thing that's going to get you to solve those grammatical problems. It's not going to happen through trying to like laser focus in on a grammar point, or like, why is it that I use 不了 and not enough and 不能 too much? You know, if like my instinct would be, if you want to try to hack it a little bit, is to say, okay, let me just look at loads of sentences that have booleal. And you know, you could do, you use ChatGPT to help with this. Like, be like, hey, ChatGPT, give me a bunch of sentences that use booleal, you know, and it'll do it, right? So yeah. Anyway, thanks to Christopher for that question there. And I know that it was a long-winded answer, but I'm really trying to emphasize that point. Next, we have Jack by email. He's responding to our villain series where I talked about the serpents of safety, which are the ideas of like staying in your comfort zone so that you don't have to be challenged, right? And so Jack says, yeah, the serpents have been strangling me for a long time, especially before Mandarin Blueprint. Now I'm glad I'm learning how to write characters thoroughly, which I've never done, and I'm trying to listen and repeat native-sounding sentences from your audio files, but I'm always hesitant to watch shows. The serpents keep saying, you can just review flashcards and learn a few more Hanzi movies. Don't waste time watching a show you won't understand 100% of. Good to hear I'm not the only one experiencing these. As of tomorrow, I'll become a serpent slayer. Yeah, and also there's things you can do to make it easier. Like, just turn on a show and, like, just turn the volume down. Maybe even turn it to zero just so that it's on, and then you can decide to turn it up for a moment if you feel like it later. But don't, like, whenever you are not doing something at all, then lower the standard so that you can do it a bit. You see what I mean? Like, so not turning it on is definitely not going to help you, right? But turning it on and having the volume at zero, at least there's something that's calling at your attention, maybe. And then you got the subtitles, so maybe you'll recognize some of the subtitles. But then at some point you'll go, well, it's on, let me just turn the volume up, right? So lower the bar for what it means to start, and then you will be more likely to start at all, because it's the not starting that definitely won't help, right? All right, thanks to Jack for the email. Richard Ashbrook by email. He says, hello, just wanted to share an experiment, but please keep in mind this is specific to myself only. I really like what Richard has shared here, so I just want to, as you're listening to this, try to take on board what he said in case you have the instinct to want to do something like this, because it didn't work for him. So let's go. I decided to see if I could speed up my Mandarin learning by not writing characters and solely focusing on reading and pronunciation. I tried this approach over an 8-week period, and what I found was surprising to me. My Mandarin comprehension went backwards massively, so much so that previously learned characters were fading into the distance. I found myself increasingly getting frustrated as I could see my progress diminishing. I couldn't connect with my props nor my movie scenes effectively. Today, I stopped my experiment and went back to writing characters. What was interesting is that the characters that I was struggling with for over the last 8 weeks, in a single session today with writing, I could easily recall. The process of writing solidified my props and story. It was as if I was writing down my scene, which in turn helped to create the wonderment of the character. As the creators of Mandarin Blueprint, you already know this. As a student, I tried to see if taking the writing step out of my learning would speed up the process. In summary, for me, the opposite occurred. I was just surprised at how much it slowed down. Regards, Richard. I love this because I wouldn't have known this. I always wrote the characters when I was learning Chinese, so I never tried this. I even did this, and it, Richard, maybe you could try this as like a in between, is sometimes I would just write the character with my finger on my hand, right? Because maybe I didn't have a pen available or whatever. And so I would just be like, okay, there we go. Wrote the character. And that at least makes your brain run through that motion. And I did that, and that was fine. I didn't lose characters that way. So, I mean, it's a little bit less satisfying from the perspective of you can't then see it, you know, but by having done it, you get the physical practice, right? And so I would recommend to everybody that you don't drop the practice of writing the characters in one way or the other. And Richard just gave us some evidence as to why that would be. And I'm not surprised, but I never had confirmation of that in any way because I always wrote the characters. So thank you so much, Richard. I really appreciate you sharing that. That's very helpful. All right, Stevie on What Next, which is the final lesson of Habit Building Bootcamp. And I was really happy that Stevie left his message because Habit Building Bootcamp is a really important course that a lot of people, I think, ignore. And it's understandable why, because it's not specifically related to Chinese. But, well, let's just see what Stevie says. He says, so glad I purchased the all course bundle and didn't miss out on this Habit Building Bootcamp. All of this has really shifted my way of thinking and motivated me. I already know I'm going to be revisiting this series again and again to refresh my memory. So much good advice, and the time and effort you guys put into all this content really shows. And I'm not surprised that Stevie has this response, because Habit Building Bootcamp is focused on the idea that, like, look, you're not going to succeed if you don't have the right mentality. And it's just simple as that. You can't achieve a long-term goal like Chinese without daily consistency and having processes and an identity that you can fall back on when you aren't in the best of motivational states. So we fall to the level of our processes, we don't rise to the level of our goals. Sure, anybody when they're full of positive motivation can achieve a lot, but it's when you have fallen back. Like, this happened to me recently. So like a few weeks ago, I was just on a real kick of being healthy and feeling great. And a part of that was springing, and I was just like, it's the morning is nice and everything is great. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to start taking cold showers every morning regardless. I mean, I took cold showers, but I wasn't doing it first thing in the morning. And so I was like, I'm going to do that first thing in the morning. And then I'm going to get some morning sunlight and take a walk and a meditation. And then I'm going to do some professional development reading. And I was feeling great about it. I was like, yeah, I'm smashing it. And then I was eating really healthy and not doing unhealthy behaviors. And I was feeling really great about it. And then the weather got cold again. And I could feel myself being less enthusiastic. You know what I mean? It was just like, I wasn't waking up and being like, all right, I'm excited to be healthy. I was more like, okay, I'm going to take a cold shower. But here's the thing though, because I had created a process, I still did everything, right? And so I still got my Chinese done. I still, the cold shower, I still took my walk, and it was less pleasant and I had less of an enjoyable time doing all that stuff. But as a result, when I came back into feeling good again, which didn't take very long, took like maybe a week and a half, and it wasn't, just to be clear, I wasn't miserable or anything, I just wasn't as enthusiastic, it was less positive. But because the processes were in place, I still did the healthy thing. And I kept up with my exercise, and I kept doing these things that are very healthy objectively. And I was like, all right, well, the process kept me going, even though I wasn't feeling as good. And that's what Habit Building Bootcamp teaches you how to do. And so, I'm just really glad to see that we're getting people who are following the plot there. So yeah. All right. Next, we have a comment from Kevin Swan on Da in context. And he actually sent us a message where he was asking a very specific question about how a sentence is structured. And I gave a response, and I'm not going to get into the details of his question because the question was too specific. It was too analytical. And so while I answered his question, I was trying to be like, stop being so analytical because that's just going to slow you down. So this is what he's saying when he came back. He said, thanks. I'd like to explain why I'm trying to understand the details. While it's true my overarching goal is communication, I would like to avoid sounding like the Hulk while doing it. I could grunt while pointing to a donut and anyone around the world would understand I wanted it. I love Zhongwen and I'm trying to train good habits. As I said, I knew the answer would be just get more input and stop asking grammar questions, but I thought if there were some trick or rule that helped me speak more appropriately, I'd like to have known it. Similar to the tone change rules for E, which are simple and useful. I did find the reframing of my goal around million pieces of comprehensible input to understand versus understanding how the language works under the hood to be very helpful. Yeah, so basically I said, think of this as a game of trying to get to a million understandable messages like I said, an analysis of how the engine works. It's like, you can think of it as like, actually, that's a really good analogy. You're not going to get good at driving by analyzing how the engine works in a car. You can learn a lot, but it's just a different activity, right? But if you want to get good at driving, you got to drive that thing. And you got to drive that thing for many, many miles, right? And so the question of how the engine works is perfectly fine to ask. There's definitely nothing wrong with asking that question. But does it make you better at driving? Well, maybe on the margins. Maybe there's something you learned about an engine that tells you how it's going to perform in some situation. But generally speaking, driving is a different set of activities than understanding what the engine is and how it works, right? I know nothing about car engines. But I can drive. So like it's kind of like that. It's interesting. Next, we have Keanu on Vocab Unlocked from Cheng. He says, "Hey there, I would like a bit of help understanding some of the components in this sentence. 高层员工的数量 要比低层少得多. Right, so I understand that this sentence is saying, but I'm curious about the meaning of yao in its location in the sentence and what 少得多 means here. Okay, so this is a basic comparison sentence. So we have 高层员工的数量. So what we're talking about here is quantity. So the quantity of high-level employees, 要比低层, so the quantity of low-level employees. So even though 数量 isn't repeated, you know what it is because it's what comes before the comparison, right? So we know that it must be the 数量 because that comes last, right? It must be the quantity. And so 比低层, 少, if you just didn't put 得多, if you just said 少, we'd understand that it's saying that the number of high-level employees, 高层员工, is fewer than low-level employees because that's the main comparison, 少, right? Now, if you want to say a lot fewer, you say 少得多, which is kind of, it's funny to say it that way because you're basically saying few and a lot, but it's basically saying much fewer. You could also say 少多了, but by saying 少得多, you're saying it a lot less. There need to be a lot less high-level employees versus low-level employees. And by saying 要, by adding 要 into the sentence, you're basically just saying this is like, it's almost sort of a principle as opposed to a statement of fact by saying it this way. And so it's like almost like the 要 is sort of that need to be or should be or you know, must be is another way to put it. So it's more when the yao to me adds an element of principle to it about what it should be like, as opposed to just a statement of fact. You take away the yao and it would be like, you know, just take it away. 高层员工的数量比低层少得多 is just there are a lot fewer high-level employees than low-level employees. And whereas you add the yao and it's more like ought to be, should be, must be, more way fewer high-level employees and low-level employees. Next, we have a question from Kevin Swan on Level 1 Navigating the Desert, which is in the Mandarin Immersion Masterclass. He says, just to clarify, we shouldn't be worried too much about this part of the course until we've completed Level 36. With Mandarin Immersion Masterclass, you can start immersing from day one if you want to. It's just that there's going to be a heck ton of it that's going to be incomprehensible. And incomprehensible input is tough. You know, it's definitely tough to engage in something that's incomprehensible because it gets boring really quickly. And so depending on your tolerance for ambiguity, you might want to avoid this because if you have a low tolerance for ambiguity, that is like you watch something you don't understand, you're just like, ah, F this, I'm going to move on to something else very quickly. Then it's probably better to focus on Mandarin Blueprint because by the time you get finished with level 36, you've been exposed to 80% of the language by frequency. And then it's much easier to play a game watching the immersion. You just see, oh, what can I understand here? And it's like, you're not going to understand most of it still. Native content is still hard to understand the overall picture when you only have 80% of the language by frequency, but you can understand a lot of things. And so by understanding many of those things, you can kind of take that gamified approach and go, even though I don't understand everything, I understood that word, I understood that sentence. I got, and like all of those things count. They count towards your understanding of the language, which builds up your pattern recognition machine, which then makes it possible for you to understand even more. And then you keep learning the Mandarin Blueprint and you keep playing that game, right? It's just, if you start to play the game from day one, it can be discouraging because you watch the native thing and you go, oh, well, obviously I don't understand a dang thing here. You know, it's like, oh, a guy said ni hao. I understood that. You know, it's like, but that's about it. So anyway, it kind of up to you. There's definitely nothing wrong with getting into the habit of turning Chinese on and having it on all the time. But you just have to know yourself. Are you the type of person who's going to... And also, we do this thing where we judge ourselves. We go, I can't believe I don't understand this. Like, well, of course you don't. It's day one. You're not going to understand for a long time. And you're not going to understand until you've gotten... Until you've built understanding through the Mandarin Blueprint method, right? So, but if you don't mind that, if you have the right mentality and go, of course I don't understand, it's fine. I just am getting used to the sounds and everything's cool. It's no big deal. I will just, you know, I'll work through this at my own pace. Then that's totally cool. But like a lot of people don't have that. I certainly didn't when I started off. So yeah. So that'll do it for episode 200 of the Mandarin Blueprint podcast. Please check out our YouTube channel. We've been adding lots of new content to it recently. Just search Mandarin Blueprint on YouTube and head over to mandarinblueprint.com where you can learn more about all of our courses and the Mandarin Blueprint. Catch you guys next time. 下次见.
Thanks for tuning into the Mandarin Blueprint podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. And if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Oh, and don't forget to follow us on social media. Just search Mandarin Blueprint on all of the major social media platforms. Also, if you're ready to take your Chinese learning to the next level, consider joining the Mandarin Blueprint Challenge. For just $7, you can reach basic Chinese literacy in 15 days. Simply go to mandarinblueprint.com/challenge to sign up. And finally, don't forget to check out all of the free stuff available at mandarinblueprint.com/resources. Thank you again for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode of the Mandarin Blueprint podcast.